mantra per mai lo conosco.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you for being here today. We are here to celebrate the life and the homegoing of our sister, our only sister, our sister in Christ today. We thank you for being here also. As she has gone from labor to reward, to the family, to all who are here, God is able. He's able to wipe the tears from your eyes. He's able to bring comfort to you during this time of bereavement. Continue to put your trust in the Lord. Our order of service for today, prayer, Gilbert Baldwin, song 296, Old Rugged Cross, led by Henry Davis, Jr. Scripture reading, Brother Bob Bourne. Song number 19, How Great Thou Art, led by Henry Davis, Jr. Obituary by our minister, Reese Siegel Henson. Song 125, Amazing Grace, congregational, led by Henry Davis, Jr. Eulogy, our minister, minister at the Ridge Road Church of Christ, that is, Leonard White. Song 784, No Tears in Heaven, led by Brother Henry Davis, Jr. Closing prayer, Gilbert Baldwin. Our pallbearers today, Roy Darnell, Kenneth Gatewood, Greg Newton, Tony Henson, and honorary pallbearer, our brother Mike Long. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we are thankful for this day, for all the blessings of life, for the opportunity, Father, to serve Thee. Father, we are thankful for our loved one who has gone on, for her long and useful life upon earth, for the hearts and lives she has touched, and for the precious memories that now fill our hearts. Father, we pray that you would surround this family today with your love, your comfort, and your strength. Lift us up, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Morning, church. If you would, please take the hymn books in front of you and turn to hymn number 296. 296, The Old Rugged Cross. We will sing the first, second, and fourth verse of this hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. And let us sing.
On a hill far away stood the old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to the Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To that old rugged cross I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear, that he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory for I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
The family has picked three scriptures for the reading this morning: Matthew 11:28-30, John 14:27, and Revelation 21:4. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now for John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. At Revelation 21. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
If you would, please take your hymn books and turn to hymn number 19, hymn number 19, How Great Thou Art. Excuse me. We'll sing all four verses of this hymn, How Great Thou Art. Let us sing. Oh.
The obituary of Deborah Sue Lawson. Age 74, passed away on Thursday, February 5th, 2026. She was born April 7th, 1951 in Athens, Alabama, the daughter of James Nelson Sr. and Ruth Smith Nelson, then moved to Michigan later in 1951. She graduated from Willow Run High School in 1969 in Ypsilanti, Michigan. After graduation, she worked at General Motors until retirement. She was a member of the Ypsilanti Church of Christ. She was a faithful and caring daughter. She moved into their home to be caretaker until their deaths. In 2018, she moved to an assisted living center due to her Parkinson's disease to be near her nieces. She resided there until her passing. She had a passion for animals and always had a dog companion. Even at the end, her hallucinations were of beloved poodles, Sissy and Pumpkin. Debbie had a great sense of humor, and it helped her to get through the difficult times. She was a loving aunt, daughter, and sister, and will be greatly missed. Surviving her are James L. Nelson, Jr., brother, Jamie Nelson, niece, Lori Nelson Smith, niece, and many cousins.
If you would, please, excuse me, turn your hymn books to hymn number 125, 125, Amazing Grace. We will sing the first, the second, and the sixth verse of this hymn, 125. Let us sing.
Amazing grace, I'll see the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was what I was, but now I found what life but now I see what grace has taught my Lord to fear and grace my victory. How precious is that grace of His. The hour I first believed, through me His angels toward death I have already thought, 'tis grace that brought me saved thus far, and grace will lead me home. When it be in there 10,000 years, bright shine he cast the sun. We go there to God's grace that when we first begun, amazing grace, I'll speak the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was
It truly is amazing grace that for what our Father in heaven has done for us, given us something that we do not deserve, but we're thankful for that cross that our Savior died on so that we could have eternal life. I want to say good morning to everyone that's here. We appreciate you being here today. I'm sure the family appreciates you being here. But most important, we're going to take a, learn from God's word. Hopefully we can find comfort in those words that we find in the passages of Scripture. I know the three that were read for us were something that, is uplifting and encouraging. I've known the family for a long time. I told somebody that, I've told a few people, I've painted more at Debbie's house than I've painted at my own house. And I've done a lot of work over there with the Nelsons and then with Debbie when the Nelsons passed away. And I said that it was kind of commendable on her part to know that she was in a situation where she needed help and volunteered to go and move into the care center. And as I said, most people go fighting and kicking, but she went because she knew what she needed to do. And I think that's very commendable on her part. And I'm thankful for the family that has been there to support her and encourage her over the years. Years ago, the producers of Sesame Street faced a dilemma. Will Lee, who was an actor who played the part of Mr. Hooper, had passed away. And the producers had to figure out a way to communicate that message to 10 million children, most of which were under the age of 6. Child psychologists had told them not to say that Mr. Hooper got sick and died, because children get sick and they're not going to die. Psychologists also suggested that they not say Mr. Hooper got old and died, because many times kids look at their parents as old. And the staff of Sesame Street decided to avoid religious issues and not say Mr. Hooper died and went to heaven. And so the producers of the show decided to say these few basic facts. He's gone, he won't be back, and he'll be missed. And they decided to use Big Bird to gently set the matter before the children. And they did it on Thanksgiving Day so that the parents could be with their children when this message was conveyed. And one of the cast, or Big Bird, came in, and he was used to convey this message. When he came into the set, he had a picture of Mr. Hooper that he wanted to give to him. And one of the cast members said, "Big Bird, remember, we told you that Mr. Hooper died." Big Bird said, "Oh yeah, I forgot." Then he said, "Well, I'll give it to him when he comes back." And one of the staff members put their arm around Big Bird and said, "Mr. Hooper isn't coming back." "Well, why not?" Big Bird said. "Big Bird, when people die, they don't come back." And really, when you think about it, on this side, that really sums it up. They're gone. They're not going to come back, but they're going to be missed. But Job asks a very important question in Job chapter 14 and verse 14, when he says, "If a man die, shall he live again?" You see, death is something that we tend to think of very little about. And yet, if the Lord tarries, every single one of us will pass from this life into the great beyond. And death carries for most people the fear of what happens next. And there's only one source that reveals the truth about what will happen next, and that is the Bible, God's Word. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You see, death is something that we all must face when our time comes. But for the faithful child of God, there should be no fear of death. There should be no fear because that faith, they've been faithful and they put their trust and obedience in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15, chapter verses 1 through 4, it shows us what Paul says is the gospel. And Jesus had told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that gospel message is the fact that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he arose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. And the Bible is clear on the subject of death and eternal life. And the answer to the question that Job asked is, yes, we will live again. Jesus said in the fifth chapter of John, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." When you look in the scriptures, you look in the gospels, you can see that they prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." You see, when a person believes in Jesus Christ, that motivates them to be obedient to the things that our Lord tells us that we need to do in order to not have to be afraid of days like this. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and verse 10, it says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." You see, everyone is going to answer for themselves. They're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and they're going to be judged. And so it's not my place to decide her destiny. It's not your place. It's our Lord's to decide. He knows her heart. He knows her, how faithful she's been. And that's what gives us encouragement. The Bible does say it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And we need to be prepared to meet our God in this lifetime and not wait before it's too late. You see, when it comes right down to it, funerals are more for the living than they are for the one that has passed away. Because it reminds us of the things that are important. We are certainly here to pay our respect and to celebrate the life that Deb lived. And I think that it's always amazing, you know, when you think about what God has, how he's created man. He's given us the ability to remember the good things. And sometimes the bad things. But mostly the good things. And even though she will be missed, we still have the memory of the things that she was able to share with each individual that's here. You see, if Deb is with the Lord, and that is the hope that we have, and that she had, she's not sorrowful today. It's not a sad day for her, because she's in that place where there's no pain, no suffering, no tears. She's not in any pain today. Some of us may be, but she's not. She's not fearful of or anxious about what is to come, but some of us might be. So how can we be confident that our dear sister in Christ is not experiencing those things? She is a child of God, and that's one of the things that gives us comfort on occasions like this. And our Lord has promised everlasting life, everlasting peace, everlasting joy to those who trust in him and obey his word. In 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter, beginning in verse 49, it says, "And as we have bore the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, in this passage, the Apostle Paul makes a statement that we are born in the image of the earthly. That means that he's talking about this physical body. This body where God had taken dust and formed man, this body is going to return to the dust. And this speaks of the weakness and the frailty and the fallen condition that we find ourselves in without God. And without that blessed hope that he gives us without the blood of Christ. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? So Job asked a question in Job chapter 14 and verse 1. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. When you look at the scale of time, life is short. When you look at Debbie's life, you can see that she struggled. She had difficulties. Now sometimes that's the lot in life that we have. And we all face obstacles that we have to go through. But it is full of trouble. And we realize that. And that's what happens on this side. But on the other side, there's joy and peace and comfort. When we look at the scale of time, we realize that life is short. It was Solomon who realized that he had his health and he had power and he had fame. He had fortune, and the conclusion that he drew was vanity of vanities. All is vanity. He said, There is nothing new under the sun, for under the sun is futility, emptiness, and vanity. Solomon was a very wealthy man. He had just about anything that he wanted, but yet he realized all of that was vain. And he was talking because when we're without God, when we don't have God with us, when we're not living to please him, then life really has no meaning. We've missed the important things that we need to realize. And Solomon was not describing life. He was describing life without God. He was describing a life without hope. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, that body that we have, we will also bear the image of the heavenly man. And when that trumpet sounds, our bodies will be changed into something that's incorruptible, something that will live forever. That's hard for us to comprehend on this side, but with God, nothing's impossible. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, we see that God created the heaven and earth, and the Bible tells us that God created man in his own image according to his likeness. And he placed Adam in the garden of Eden and told him in Genesis chapter 2 verses 16 through 17, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. We know the rest of the story. Adam sinned and ate of that forbidden fruit, and because Adam sinned, that man of dust, death entered into the world. But here's the good news. Because Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins and rose from the grave, eternal life has been given to those who put their faith and trust in him. He came to this earth for a purpose. He came to this earth to save us from our sin so that we could have that relationship with God and that we could have the forgiveness of sin and ultimately, if we live a faithful life, have a home in heaven with our Lord. You see, the life of that Jesus lived was really, truly amazing in every way. We can see where he fed the hungry, he healed the sick, he caused the blind to be able to see, the mute to be able to speak, the deaf to hear, and he even raised some people from the dead. But it's his own death that gives us hope. For he died as a sacrifice for sin, and on the third day he arose, conquering death, not only for himself, but for all of those who obey him. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. So it's important that we obey his commands. In the 15th chapter, which I read earlier, we find in that chapter that it's not referring to the resurrection of Jesus. It's referring to the resurrection of Christians. Verse 52 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at that last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So if you're a faithful child of God, you got something to look forward to. Yes, this is a sad day and a difficult day, but it's just a passage through which we pass from this life to the next. And it is the hope that we have that our sister is with the Lord even now as we speak. In John chapter 11, before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he says in verses 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I would like to ask you this afternoon or morning, I don't know what time it is now, do you believe what the Bible tells us about Jesus, about what we need to do in order to be faithful? Do you believe what he tells us about heaven? Do you believe all the wonderful things that are described in God's Word? Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We've seen what that gospel message is, the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. So he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You see, the forgiveness of sin and everlasting life is not something reserved for those who are just perfect. It's not reserved for the rich and famous. It is for anyone who is willing to commit their soul and their life to our Lord. So the question is, are you willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him? And Jesus tells us if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. We'll do what he's told us to do. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Funerals remind us of the things that are really important in life. They remind us of how short life is. We realize that time seems to fly. As we get older, we look back and say, where did it go? But occasions like this, it gives us an opportunity to think about how short life is, and how important it is to be right with God. Things like this remind us of how important it is to have that relationship with God, and how important it is to keep the right relationships with each other. Because once that person has slipped out into eternity, You can never again tell them how much you love them, how much you appreciate all that they've done for you. So I want to encourage all of us to tell those whom we love how much they mean to us while we have the opportunity. It's important that you do it now, because life is short, and it's far too short to ever withhold forgiveness from someone or hold a grudge. And sometimes in this life it's very easy to hold a grudge, but remember, life is short, and you don't want to go into eternity holding that grudge or not forgiving someone who's asked. You see, all of us have lost loved ones, and it's never easy, no matter how many years they were with us. Thousands of years ago, a shepherd who would become a king of Israel wrote a psalm that has blessed countless hearts over the years and has given peace and comfort to thousands who are suffering. And it goes like this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Debbie's gone. She won't be back, and she will be missed. But her soul has returned to God who gave it. And as the writer of Psalm 67 and verse 1 says, "May God be gracious to each of you, bless you, and make his face to shine upon you." God bless each family member that's here. God bless friends and those that have taken the time to show that you care. Thank you.
If you would, please turn your hymn book to hymn number 794. That's 794. "No Tears in Heaven." We'll sing all three verses of this hymn. 794. Let us sing.
"No tears in heaven, no sorrows given. All will be glory in heaven. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join that happy band. And there'll be no tears, and there'll be no tears, no tears of them, sorrow and pain or have fallen. And there'll be no tears. No tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Cause glory is waiting, waiting up yonder, where we shall spend it in this day. There with our Savior will be forever, where no more sorrow can dismay. And there'll be no tears, and there'll be no tears, no tears of death, sorrow and pain will all have fallen. And there'll be no tears, and there'll be no tears, no tears of death, no tears in heaven will be known. And some more yonder will seem to ponder, or maybe this life has brought to view. All will be clearer, the one we hear, in heaven when all will be made new. And there'll be no tears, and there'll be no tears, no tears of them. Sorrow and pain will all have flown, and there'll be no tears, and there'll be no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known, and there'll be no tears, and there'll be no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have gone, and there'll be no tears, and there'll be no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be
known. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful for the life of our sister Deborah Lawson, for the positive impact she has had on so many lives. Father, we're praying that in the days and the weeks that lie ahead, this family will find comfort as they remember the good times they shared together, how much she loved them, how much they loved her. Father, we know that you love us. You love the souls of men, women, boys, and girls, and you want our souls to come back to you once we depart this life. Guide us, Father. You know our needs and you know our desires because you created us. Father, when it is your time to call and ours to answer, help us to have lived a good life, a life where we can hear your voice saying, "Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter the joys of heaven." Yes, Lord, we want to be in that number. And now, Lord, we commit our sister Deborah Lawson into thy hands, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. In the name of Jesus, amen. Everyone is invited to remain, join the family for a meal in the fellowship hall. Thank you.
This concludes the services for Debbie. On behalf of the family, we'd like to thank Leonard White and Elder Baldwin for officiating today and everyone here at the church helping make this service possible. Just a few minutes, we're going to be making our way out to the hearse. The burial will actually take place on Monday. Families scheduled a private burial. And then once again, you're all graciously invited to the lunchroom. There we can further celebrate Debbie's life. Thank you.